हरि
सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 50. Adhikarana 3. The person in the heart. Guhadhikaranam. Sutra reference 1, 2, 11, and 12. Adhikarana Prakashika. Kathya Upanishad 1.3.1 speaks of two beings entering, quote-unquote, entered into the cave. Adhikarana 3 establishes that the associate to the jiva in the cave of the heart is Brahman and not, as Shankara claims, prana or mana. Okay, so difficulty also comes if it's prana, but we've already established prana as the jiva according to Shankara, so that means the jiva's in the heart with there's another jiva, or it's getting crowded. Okay, summary of Adhikarana 3. Vishaya, the Kathya Upanishad 1.3.1 states, two persons drink the results of karma in the cave of the heart. They who know Brahman, they who keep the five sacred fires, and they who perform the three Nachiketa sacrifices, say these two persons are shade and light. Shamshaya. In this passage, a comparison to the jiva, who experiences the results of karma, is described. The companion may be interpreted to be either intelligence, life, breath, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purvapaksha. The companion here must be either intelligence or life breath, for they assist the jiva as he experiences the results of karma. The companion cannot be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the Supreme Lord never experiences the results of karma. Therefore, the companion must be either intelligence or life breath. It's interesting how they talk about the transcendental position of the Lord, and at the same time as then try to say it's not the Lord. Right? In other words, if it's good for their argument, they'll accept the position of the Lord, and when it's not good, then they won't. Yeah. So
cheating.
Not exactly.
Can we say that their whole presentation is on the level of the mind?
Yes, that's the whole idea of the, when we say mental speculation, because the intelligence is what's working, but what you choose and what you decide on, that is picked by the mind. So actually, in this process, then the mind is using the intelligence, not the other way around. Maybe when they control their senses, when they apply themselves to the Vedic sadhanas and practices, then it may be intelligence is controlling mind. But ultimately, why they're doing that is mind is controlling intelligence. Because then they're thinking, I'm going to become God, I'm going to become special.
They've already accepted and rejected.
Yes. That the first premise is that I'm God like that, so then everything else after that becomes tainted, even though for that in that particular process it may be proper. So we say that up to the point of Brahman, what they follow and what we follow is the same. So there's not going to be a difference there in the application, right? But what's going to be the difference is that when you get to the level of Brahman, then their concept of Brahman and our concept, that's different. Now, because their concept of Brahman isn't personal, doesn't have qualities, therefore their elevation of themselves up to the position of liberation is very, very difficult. Because they simply are having to use their intelligence, control their senses, and like this. While for the devotees, then they're committed to Krishna consciousness. And so because of that, Krishna is helping. While the other is that they commit themselves, they get an equal result of, that control of the senses or some focus. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's the whole idea. But for the devotee, he's making his endeavor, then Krishna's responding so much more. So for the devotee to get to the position of liberation, that's just a natural position, because it's not a goal. It's simply the platform. Right? Because understanding the eternal nature, understanding having knowledge, these of sat and chit, these are just the standard position, the situation of the soul. So the impersonalists only get up to that level. They don't get beyond that. But for the devotees, then they go beyond into ananda. So that's the actual point, is that only the devotees actually taste ananda maya. The maya bodies will say they're on the platform ananda maya, and we can say, yes, they're situated in ananda maya, but because they're not taking advantage of the person, then they can't experience ananda. Right? Means whatever ananda's there in the soul, yes, but this idea of they're going to have the unlimited ananda of Brahman, no, because you have to have a relationship with that unlimited Brahman, because they don't actually become that Brahman. They're already their own Brahman. Why will they become another Brahman? You know? Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that technically, just like, you know, they're liberated, but we'll say, well, they're not actually liberated. Just like they'll say on the platform of ananda maya, but we'll say they're not actually on that platform. Because the actual platform means in a relationship with the Lord. So then connecting with him in a relationship, then you taste the unlimited ananda. Right? So that's the point, is that your how you say, qualitative oneness there in sat and chit, that they'll have caught. But they don't catch ananda. Because that you have to have a relationship. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Yes.
I'm not sure if I heard correctly. This was at the point of the light and shade.
We haven't gotten to the light and shade yet.
But it's the Paramatman and Jiva.
Yes, Paramatman and Jiva.
And what's Jiva's that?
In the shade.
Jiva's in the shade. Right?
What's surprise.
What's Nachiketa sacrifice?
What is the Nachiketa sacrifices?
Three.
Those are the ones that you do when you perform, keep the five sacred fires. Then with the five sacred fires, then you do the three Nachiketa sacrifices. Yes. Yes, but it's one of those, is that, okay, you got 3 days, then maybe it can be explained or something, you know, because it's just super, super technical, the things. Yes.
I always find one of the duties of Domya was to carry the sacrificial fire. Well,
yes.
I can't imagine that was an easy thing to do.
You just put it in the pot. You have it in the pot, and then the pot's tied with rope, and then you just carry it in your hand like you would a handbag.
Yeah, but how do people? It seems like it would go out. Really easily.
No, because it's in ash. The pot's filled with ash. The fire goes in there, then you put cow dung, and then you close it again with more ash. So like that, it'll keep going. Because you do morning and evening, so it'll easy go 12 hours.
Okay.
Yes, you just have a clay pot, and you carry it with that.
So is that the origin of the Olympic torch?
Yes.
I just can't imagine how hard it must have been to carry that around the entire exile of Pandavas.
No, because you just have it in your hand. You know, you have a pot like this.
Yeah,
you know, and have the ropes.
Explain it, I can understand it, but I'm saying, before I was thinking, how did he carry that fire around?
Yeah, he's always going, yeah, Brahma Tejas, right? Yeah. But before there was explained in other yugas, then when the Brahmins would do the sacrifice, because the Yagshala was built, everything was actually flammable. And then in certain sacrifices, then at the end when they do the Purnahuti, everybody would leave the Yagshala but the Brahmins. And stand outside. They chant the mantras, they put in the final offering, which would start the whole place on fire. And then while it's on fire, they would finish chanting the mantras and everything like this, but because of their purity, they were not burnt by the fire. Like that. So you had to, you know, that's another way to tell that your Brahmins are qualified. Yeah, if they walk out unscathed, it means their clothes, nothing will be burnt, because Agni won't burn them. You know, like that. And then afterwards, then they come out. So, you know, it's a But I would expect this would be your more like your Karmakanda kind of things. So not so much the ones connected with Vishnu and stuff. Like that. But, you know, there's, you know, the Prabhupada mentions about taking an old cow, holding it by the tail, pushing it into the fire, and then with mantra pulling out a calf. So if they could do that, then you know, okay, these Brahmins are qualified, you know, like that. Or sometimes they would see, how you say, the living entity would be, like, I think the horse sacrifice, then you would see them as a demigod. Because it means they would be killed, they would be moved to the next body. So that means they would go from the horse to a demigod. So that means the karma in between those two, that goes to the Yajaman.
So maybe he will be burned.
Huh?
Maybe he burns in the fire, the Yajaman, with all the karma.
That's another thing. But that's the whole point, is that these are the parts of the that are not talked about. You know, but no one overemphasizes it.
Well, the Sita Devi, she's unburnt at the end of Ramayana.
Yes, yes, like that. Yeah. So it's just, point is, if there's a certain amount of purity, then fire won't burn. Yeah. Like that. But I think it was also, it may have been Pallad Maharaj. He had, I think, an aunt who, she had a benediction, she couldn't be burnt by fire.
Yeah.
But then, because she was trying to burn Pallad Maharaj, she ended up getting burnt, and he wasn't. So, didn't exactly work.
She had a keep.
Sorry?
A keep.
A keep.
A cape. I'm pretty sure it was a flame retardant cape.
Oh, I see. Okay, so now we. But at the end of the pastime, then you actually find out who had the retarded aspect. You know. Didn't, yeah. Okay. Siddhanta. The conclusion follows. Guham pravishtav atmanau hi tat darshanat. The two persons that have entered the cave of the heart are the two selves, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Jiva, because this explanation is seen in Vedic literature. Because Vedic literature describes the two in the heart, the Supreme Lord and the Jiva. So that's what it's going by. So you don't take this one out of context of what the Vedic literature. So the point we see what Vyasadeva is making here is that the Vedic literature is just talking about the Jiva and the Supreme Lord. It's not talking about just the Jiva, right? So then in talking about the context, wherever it is, that's always what it's meaning. And so it's just vichar, it's different aspects of seeing this. Does that make sense? So the Mayavadis are taking, or any other philosophers, they're taking the one thing out of context of the whole body of Vedic literature, and they're taking it into simply the wording that happens to be in this particular one. And then on that they base their arguments. But if they're seeing it in context that the whole Vedic literature is talking about the Supreme Lord, then they would take everything and try to interpret that way. So they would broaden their understanding. But otherwise, because they take it into this way, then they actually narrow. And then better guys can do this mental speculation on a wider variety of verses. So in this way, it looks like he has a broader vision and he's more of a scholar. But actually, because their intent is wrong, then all that scholarship is wasted. Mm-hmm. Like that. So much, you know, great intelligence applied, so much great intelligence, you know, wasted. Yeah? You know, like I think the personified Vedas, they make the point that if you're only absorbed in anamoy, pranamoy, manamoy, vijnanamoy, then your life is wasted. So your breathing is like that of the bellows, you know, in the blacksmith shop, like that. And, you know, it goes on like that. So that's the whole. So they consider they're on Anandamaya, but actually they don't get off Vijnanamaya. Mm-hmm. And even that, they know the soul, but they don't know the Lord. So their situation's not as strong as it could be.
Gita, their Maya Yaparita Gyana.
Yes.
One's knowledge is stolen away.
Yes, 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 yes. So like that. So just as Krishna gives intelligence to the devotees, he takes it away from these so-called scholars. like that. Yeah. Okay. Sutra 2.11. Guham pravishtav atmanau hi tad darshanat. Guham, in the cave, pravishtav, entered, atmanau, two selves. He, indeed, tat, that, darshanat, because of being seen in other passages of Vedic literature. The two beings in the space within the heart are the jiva and the Lord, because that is described elsewhere. Sri Govinda Bhasha. Vishai, in the same Upanishad it is said, the knowers of Brahman, who tend the five fires and perform the three Nachiketa sacrifices, say that the two entities, one dark and one light, have entered the space in the heart. Having entered the space in the heart, enjoy the results of karma in the body. Katha Upanishad 1.3.1. That will come up. Because the point is the Lord is the one that it's his potencies in which the living entity can enjoy that. Because he is, because if they're in God consciousness, they'll be on Anandamaya, and if they're not, they're going to be on one of the other levels. So he is, the Lord is Anamoy, Pranamoy, Manamoy. He is those. That's been established previously. So then, that being understood, then it's his potency by which then the jiva is enjoying. But it's already established the Lord's beyond, so he's not enjoying as such. Samshaya. The doubt is this. Is the person mentioned in this verse who enjoys the results of karma with the jiva, the intelligence, or prana, or the Supreme Lord? Purvapaksha. The person who enjoys the results of karma can be intelligence or prana, since they accompany the jiva. But the person cannot be the Lord, since he does not experience karma. But same time, intelligence or prana don't experience anything either, so... We didn't read what?
Didn't we discuss it already in the previous verse?
No, because this is bringing out the point. Then it'll give all the different points. No, that was the introduction to this Adhikarna.
Yesterday we did.
Earlier they mentioned that because the jiva and the Brahman are in the same heart, that is the reason why he experiences the suffering of the jiva. And now it is completely opposite. He doesn't experience the suffering of the karma of the jiva. So they're taking two different, like exactly contradictory.
It means the Mayavadis are taking the different. Yeah. Oh yeah, because as we said, they'll just take anything that they see. Because for them, it's about. It's about nigrahastana. It's about just winning the argument. It means making a final point that will defeat the discussion. It's not about siddhanta, really.
Can they not argue that, as you mention your vichar, even we are presenting our vichar at the same time?
Means?
About this, the arguments, the samshayas that is said. This is our vichar. They may argue that.
No, it's not our vichar. That's the problem. That's their vichar.
Yeah, that's their vichar.
Yeah, but this is not our vichar.
This is not our vichar.
No, this is Vyasadeva's. That's the difference. They make up their own. We follow the previous acharyas. See, you can always do that, because that's the weakness in logic, is that in logic, someone can always be better at it. It's not necessarily... So unless the purpose of having a logical discussion is to come to siddhanta, then logic is actually a faulty method, because someone can be more clever and come up with better arguments. That's why Lord Chaitanya showed, when they go to take their noon bath and all the scholars are there and they're all debating and all that, he would come and whoever it was, he would defeat them soundly. And they had nothing to say. It was such good argument. Then he'd turn around and then he'd bring a better argument and defeat what he just said. And he could just keep going like that. Right? So that's the whole weakness, is why if it's connected with paravidya, with transcendental in the parampara, then logic, then it's anvikshiki, then it's a value. But otherwise, if it's just used, to win an argument, that's what's called tarka. It's not technically nyaya, because nyaya should end in siddhanta. That's the most important point. So if it's just about winning the argument, that's called tarka. Yes?
I think I've heard described as jalpa also, or is that...
Jalpa is just where you just say whatever you like. It's just, I think in the modern we call it stonewalling or something, or you just say anything to distract and throw the person off.
Stonewalling.
They have a new name now.
Too, but that's a different thing.
Slightly different.
Yeah.
What would be stonewalling?
I think it's like
you
an
kind of stop someone in the tracks by saying something, so you divert them by saying something else.
But there's no one for distraction. Means if you're taking the word and giving it a different meaning than what was intended, that's chala. Means you've shifted it. But from what I know of Stonewall, you just say things that they can't get around. Anything they say, you just say, you know, no, but we have to do this. No, we don't. But, you know, that's Stone. It's just whatever they say, you just say something that they, you know, what do you do with that? You know, but it's Monday morning. Says, no, it's actually Friday. You know, it's like, you know, it's like you just, it's not that you're changing the meaning. You're just saying any old nonsense like that. You know, I'm sorry, because it's given that there's all these different parts. So each of these parts, if you look at it, if you go into Nyaya, there's probably, you know, 10 breakdowns of each one. You know, so like that. So the general categories. Somebody
said, in essence, they're not really following any parampara as
such. They're following Shankara, but at the same time, they're not. Because Shankara, he didn't actually negate the aspect that Narayan is actually the origin. He just gives them a way of how to speculate. And so by what he says, they can go on with their Buddhist conceptions. That's the whole idea. So what he's saying technically is not Buddhism, but the wording and context is such that you could take it that way. So now the followers of Shankara, what they say, now that's what's really dangerous. Right, does that make sense? Means if you understand the Sharirik Bhashya from the Vaishnava point of view, one won't have any problem. But the point is how it's written, it's not presented that way. So then if one doesn't know, one can get distracted. That's why it says one should not read that. But Prabhupada points out that Shankara is actually not the dangerous one. The dangerous one are his followers. Because they're actually convinced of it. He just came in to bewilder them. Is that? Yes?
Like there is a story of Madhvacharya. When he first became famous, then the greatest Buddhists come to argue with him, debate with him. Then Madhvacharya first points out to him that first you establish how logic stands on itself. And he goes on. He can't even debate. He can't even start the debate because he can't establish logic can stand on its own.
Yeah, because otherwise that's all they use. Like that. So it's kind of like they've taken the Vedic concepts and just shifted them over. And so then, you know, it becomes their own thing. But then what does it stand on? Okay, very good. Now, he was very expert. But we'll try. Okay. Purvapaksha. The person enjoys... Okay. Okay, we just... Siddhanta. Guhyam parvishtav atmanau hitad darshanat. The two beings in the space within the heart are the jiva and the Lord, because that is described elsewhere. The two entities in the space within the heart are the jiva and the Lord, not the jiva and intelligence or the jiva and prana. Why? Because this description is also seen elsewhere. The jiva endowed with senses who appears of various powers, entering the heart along with the prana, remains there. Katupanishad 2.17. The sage who understands by means of meditation the shining eternal Lord, hard to perceive, who has entered the heart and remains hidden there, in its very depths, gives up joy and sorrow. Katha Upanishad 1:12. These verses from the same Upanishad describe the jiva and the Lord entering the heart. Because of this description, tad darshanat, the other person must be the Lord. He indicates that the Puranas also affirm this. Both are described as the experiencers. Pibantu, of the fruits of karma, only to integrate the experience of karma in a general way. The Lord is the controller of the experience, and the jiva is the actual experiencer. Or the above statement is similar to the statement, the umbrella carriers go, to indicate a crowd in which the umbrella carriers are conspicuous and numerous, in which persons not carrying umbrellas are also present. Catch what that means? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's just like, you know, the football fans are going towards the stadium, but there's a lot of people there that aren't, but they just happen to be standing there. Right? So. The jiva and the Lord are prescribed as dark and light to indicate the degrees of knowledge or to show that the jiva is trapped in samsara where the Lord is not. So then the Lord is light, the jiva is dark. Right? So, because we're working on this level of just the soul, right? Atma. If you come up into the Bhagavan, then the Lord is the dark one and the soul is the light one. You understand? Because then Shyamasundara is black and the jivas, they tend to be golden and like this. So, yeah. That's not being discussed here. Yes.
And the jiva is dark here because of the influence of the modes of nature.
Yes, yes. So that's what he says here. Indicate the degree trapped in samsara. So when the jiva comes to understand their position, then they come to the light. That's also a very famous Upanishad. You know, come from the darkness to the light. I don't know, you always hear it. Any Hindu gathering, they're always going to chant that one.
Asatoma Jyotirgamaya.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, it's like very famous. Bhagavatam verse reference. The Supreme Lord dwells with the jiva in the heart. There the jiva depends on the Supreme Lord alone and not upon the intelligence and the life air. Srimad Bhagavatam, because the intelligence and life air, those will go. But what's behind that, as we established before, is the intelligence prana, it's a potency, and that's dependent on the Lord. So that's actually what he's there with. The others are also there, and the heart is also prana and intelligence, the mind, the ego, everything's there. But what's important is the jiva, who's using these things, and the Lord, who's the potency behind those, who's controlling those. So he who is controlling those things, and the one who is controlled by those things. So when they give up that position, trying to enjoy that, then, as it says here, then they give up joy and sorrow. Right? Because that means the material joy and sorrow. We notice, of the two, joy is only 3 letters, and sorrow is 6. So you work out the proportion. Yeah. Okay. 8.5.26. Lord Brahma said, "We offer respects to the unlimited, unchanging Lord, who is real, the first cause, and who is invisible like a person hiding in a cave. Guha Shayam, who is without parts, inconceivable, beyond mind and speech, who is the best of the devas and the most worthy of praise." Yeah, you pointed out that somehow the verses that we're going through here in Vedanta Sutra happen to be the same ones we're going through in the Bhagavatam. Like that, I think we just did this one yesterday.
We did one from the third chapter, I think, 8.3
something. But then there's this one. Yeah, no, so
it says. Oh, you mean in Bhagavatam?
Yeah, yeah, no, but I'm saying what's very nice is that it's the point of where it is, it comes through.
And at the end of the section, it's 8.1, there's a number of verses.
Okay. 8.1, yeah, yeah. Because we're studying the eighth canto now, so it seems to.
Meant to be.
Huh? Meant to be, yes, yes. We got the. It's in its proper year.
Okay. Why does he stay so buried underneath everything and hides in a cave?
Because the jiva's hiding in the cave. Mm-hmm. See, the point is, he's there, but without his grace, we can't see him. That's the point, is that if we turn to the Lord, then the Lord will reveal himself. Otherwise, he's there because who else will manage all the things for the jiva? Because the jiva can't do it himself. Does that make sense? So the Lord's there to sanction whatever is going on. He's the potency behind it. He's the witness. But the jiva then coming in contact with the Lord by coming in contact with the devotees, then he is able then he's able to realize the Lord by the Lord's grace. Yeah, it's just like we don't see, understand the jiva because it's also in that same place. We think we're the body. You know, just like, the yogis who are more attached to the concept of their body, they focus on yoga itself, you know, the Ashtanga yoga system, because it's all about the body. It's only at the end. Was it Yoga Rudha? Is that the advance?
Yeah.
Yoga Rudha, then they actually are dealing in the platform of the subtle body more. Before that, they're dealing basically with the gross body.
Yoga Rurukshu?
The lower.
Like
the lower. Yoga, yeah, it's Yoga Rurukshu. That's the first six stages are Yoga Rurukshu. They're dealing with the external. And Yoga Rudha, that means the advanced stage where they're dealing with the meditation on Vishnu and samadhi on Vishnu. But before that, even just focusing, dharana just means you're focusing. So it's just bringing the mind to one point. So it's not even as of yet on Vishnu. You're just focusing. And when you have it focused, then you put Vishnu there. So then it starts the Yoga Rudha. So it's meant for a lower stage. You know, it's very technical and everything. So the more technical it is generally means it's a lower stage. Right? Unless it's philosophy, but then that's just finer points of the same thing. But when it uses skills as more technical, generally means that there's more material attachment. So you need a better skill to get more facility. Is that? Okay, in his commentary to this, footnote 31. In his commentary to this Bhagavatam verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur takes the word guha, cave, literally towards to emphasize the mysterious, inconceivable nature of the Lord. He cannot be defined by words. Shruti says, yadvacha nabhyuditam yena vag abhyudyate. The Lord is not expressed by words. And by him, words take their meaning. Right, so, with words you can't express, but the potency of words is coming from him. Therefore, since if one surrenders to him, then that potency of the words you're able to express. But it's not that the words themselves can express. It's the Lord's potency in the words that allows it to be expressed, but words on their own can't express.
Mm. Yes, sir? Just pray by Brahma, that specific verse. That's appreciating the Lord on the Brahman platform, or is it?
No, it's just that he's beyond the material. That's the whole point. I mean, he who is real, so that means he must be beyond the material nature. The first cause, so he's before anything, because we see Mahamaya as the cause, but then she's Yogamaya, and then her cause is Krishna. Right? Invisible, like a person hiding in a cave, means we can't see. So the point is, we're unable to see. It's not his problem. It's our problem. Like that, who is without parts. He doesn't have, he is one entity. We have parts. He's non-different. Inconceivable, you know, beyond mind and speech, who is the best of the devas, the most worthy, like that. Because our minds and words are material, and you are beyond matter, we cannot approach you with our minds and words. That form beyond matter is described. It is devoid of transformation. Whereas the guna's nature is transformation. Though you are beyond mind and words, you are not unreal. You are real, satyam. Right? So that means what's here, because you're beyond, so then we may say, oh, it's just a theory, it's just a figment of imagination, or whether it's anthropomorphism, or some variety of opiate, like that. So, that's the whole thing. But no, he's real. Because he's the source of whatever reality we know here. And then in that, since he's the original source, then technically what we call real here, the part that's not connected to him, that's actually the unreal aspect. So lack of reality means not saying things connected to him. Okay, then he says, then I am like a pot. Or... like a pot again. Yeah, that was the point, because this was in the Bhagavatam. Then I am like a pot, or come on, it's just, it matches. Then I am like a pot or a cloth. No, you are unlimited, devoid of limit of space and time, since you are the cause of the whole universe. It's so funny how he does that. Oh, so that I'm like a pot or a cloth.
Does it refer to the two types of mayavad, the reflection and the cutting? Because the pot is the analogy they use for the pratibimba.
Okay.
Philosophy.
But
the
he's
pot must be cutting up. That was mine.
Oh, okay. But you are beyond mind and words. You are not unreal. You are real. But do they use that to establish reality?
Well, no, they...
I would say, you have, if you're looking at it as unreal, then I would say that those would apply.
Yeah.
But I thought if you were just saying, oh, say you're real, so I'm like a pot or a piece of cloth. I'm
okay.
Real.
Okay.
Yeah. Like that. Okay. But I would say it will have the subtle thing of... He would use the example, it also defeats the other,
uh-huh.
You know. Because whatever Krishna does, it does many things.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say is on the philosophical point, it's the one. But here he's just playing with Brahma. He's saying all these lofty things and all that. And so, oh, so I'm just like a pot or a piece of cloth.
Yeah.
No, you're like that. No, you're unlimited, devoid of limit in time and space, and like this and that, since you are the cause of the whole universe. Yeah. Therefore, no one can understand you. You are like a person hiding in a cave. Right. Because then it also would be you're unlimited, devoid of limit in time and space. So then, like the thing, you break the pot. So then you're saying, I'm the pot. So then, you know. Yeah.
There's the famous song, I'm a little teapot.
Yes. 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 No, you're an unlimited, devoid of limit in time and space teapot. Right. Yes.
Biggest teapot. Biggest.
Yes. Yeah, so what's it? Tip the pot over and pour out the whole Mahatattva.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Therefore, because no one can understand you, you are like a person hiding in a cave. That's the thing. It's like if someone's hiding in a cave, you can't understand. So he's like that. Not that he is hiding in a cave. In Ramanuja's commentary on this sutra, he interprets guha as heart. Despite the fact the Lord and Jiva both dwell in this place, there's a world of difference between the two. Srila Prabhupada follows this meaning in his translation or purport to this corresponding Bhagavatam verse. Because the Lord is situated in everyone's heart and the individual living entity is not, never should the individual living entity be equated with the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Lord says, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sani Vishtaha. I am situated in everyone's heart. This does not mean, however, that everyone is equal to the Lord. Right? So he's situated in their heart, but that doesn't mean, okay, the Jiva and the Lord are equal, because the Jiva is not situated in everyone's heart. There's a Jiva, but it's not one Jiva in everyone's heart, unless you're going by that one particular Mayavad philosophy. Yeah. Okay. In the Shruti Mantras, it is said, Hridi Hyayam Atma Pratishtitaha. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is saying, Satyam Param Dhimahi. The Vedic mantras say, Satyam Jnanam Anantam, and Nishkalam Nishkriyam Santam Niravadyam. God is supreme. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.5.26, purport. Okay, does that continue? That's okay. That was the bottom of this. That was the end of that. So now top of 52. Next verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead directly and indirectly knows how everything, including the living force, mind, and intelligence, is working under his control. Vibhasti cham prana mano dhyatmanam. He is the illuminator of everything and has no ignorance. He does not have a material body subject to the reactions of previous activities. And he is free from the ignorance of partiality and materialistic education. I therefore take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, who is eternal, all-pervading, and as great as the sky, and who appears with six opulences and three yugas, Satya, Treta, and Dwapara. Also, good that one. So your point is everybody should have come to the other class and then we would have dealt with it. Sutra 1-12. Viseshanat cha. Viseshanat, because of distinctive qualities, cha also. The Lord is the person accompanying the jiva because of distinctive qualities. Sutra Prakashika. Sutra 12 stresses the difference between the jiva and Brahman as the attainer and the object to be attained. One is the meditator, the other the object of meditation. Right? So we see is what he also used this technique before.
Yeah.
Is that he establish who's who, and then by the grammar then establishes who's actually the goal and who's the one making that attempt, or who's making the same thing. Who's
subject and the object.
Yeah, the subject and the object. Right? So then, yeah. So once you've established the point, then that's accepted. Then you can give finer points to back that up. You know, it just makes it more and more clear. Because otherwise you've established who's who, but you haven't established the relationship. So then by this, then the relationship is established. So that's actually the important point you're trying to get to. Right? Sambandha is about the relationship. But in establishing the relationship, you do have to point out position. You know, who's who and everything like that. But once that's there, then you know what's the relationship between everyone. Does that make sense? Sri Govinda Bhasha. In this section of the Upanishad, the jiva and the Lord are being known particularly by their positions, described as meditator, jiva, and the object of meditation, the Lord. In the Katha Upanishad text quoted earlier, Tam Durdarsham describes the jiva as the meditator and the Lord as the object of meditation. They know the Lord who is hard to know. In the text under discussion, dark and light describe the jiva as ignorant and the Lord as full of knowledge. The following verse distinguishes the jiva as the attainer from the Lord as the object of attainment. The person who has good intelligence as his charioteer and who holds firmly the reins of the mind reaches the end of the path, the supreme abode of Vishnu, Katha Upanishad 1.3.9. So here's that if the intelligence is driving and it's holding the reins of the mind, so then the senses will be in control. So then you can, in a progressive way, move forward. But otherwise, if the reins aren't held tightly, then what will happen is the horses will do all kinds of strange things. Right? So one will not actually progress forward properly. Katha Upanishad 1.3.9. Bhagavatam verse reference. The Supreme Lord is the all-knowing goal of the self-controlled yogi. The jiva who dwells with the Supreme Lord in the heart is neither all-knowing nor the goal of yoga. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.5.29. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva, and therefore he is Ekavarna, the Omkara Pranava. Because the Lord is beyond the cosmic manifestation, which is considered to be darkness, he is not visible to material eyes. Nonetheless, he is not separated from us by time or space, but is present everywhere. Right? So he's beyond, but that doesn't mean time and space is separate. This is his inconceivable potency. He is everywhere, but to know him, your consciousness has to go beyond the material. Nonetheless, he is not separated from us by time and space, but is present everywhere. Seated on his carrier, Garuda, he is worshipped by means of mystical yoga power, by those who have achieved freedom from agitation. Let us all offer our respectful obeisances unto him. So that establishes his position, and then the jiva. So that's why jiva is in darkness, he's in light. Adhikarana 4, the person in the eye. Antaradikaranam. Sutra reference 1-2, 13-17. Adhikarana Prakashika. Adhikarana 3 asserts that the person within the eye mentioned the Chandogya Upanishad 4.15.1 is Brahman. Right? Because otherwise you think you're seeing, so that must be the jiva. Summary of Adhikarana 4. Vishaya. Chandogya Upanishad 4.15.1-2 says, he who is seen in the eye is the Atma. He is immortal. He is nectar. He is the greatest because he is present neither water, Because he is present, neither water nor liquid butter will stay on the eye, but both will slide from it. He is the abode of all opulences. For one who sees him, all desires are at once fulfilled. Shamshaya, is this person a reflection, a demigod, the jiva, or the supreme personality of Godhead? Purvapaksha, it may be the first, for the observer sees himself reflected in another's eye. It may be the second, because Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 5.5.2 says, with the rays of sunlight, the sun god enters the eye. Okay. It may be the third, because a person sees with his eyes, so he may also be the person in the eye. In this way, the person in the eye is one of these three. So he doesn't even give an example for the Lord. Just by absence, then. Siddhanta, the conclusion is this. Antara upapattehe, the person in the eye is the supreme personality of Godhead, because that conclusion is dictated by reason. Sutra 1.13, 1.2.13. Antara upapattehe, antaraha, the person within, upapattehe, because of reason. The person in the eye is paramatma because of the evidence in the passage. Sutra Pakashika. Before referring to other Upanishadic passages confirming that the person in the eye is Brahman, the sutrakar asserts that the meaning is clear from the Vishaya itself. No cross references are needed, for the descriptions in the passage are enough to dispel the doubt. The person in the eye is described as the supreme self, Atma, immortal, Amrita, the greatest, Brahman, untouched by material things, and the abode of all opulences, Sampada Dhamma. This clearly precludes the possibility of it referring to a demigod or jiva. So he's just saying the verse itself already says that it has to be the Lord. Right? Because we've discussed these things before, so it naturally it's just building on itself. Right? It's like Ayurvedic medicine. It's not that taking the one dose that does the work, it's the building up of it that does. You take every day, it builds up a particular potency. Like that. So as we go through all these definitions, then it's very clear, because we've already defined all these. We've defined self, we've defined Atma, we've defined Brahman, like this. So then it's very clear what it means. Right? But what they're doing is each time the Mayavadis taking it from zero and then trying to explain it. So there's no development there.
So there's going to be the difference between the two times we go through Sutta Sandarbha also. We're going through Sutta Sandarbha after this, right?
Yes, yes.
We'll be going more in this method.
Yes, yes, yes. Because before it was we tried to put it there as an introduction to the Bhagavatam, yes, because it gives the position. But then the other technical things it gets to, it was too early, yeah, for, because, you know, we get into technical in the second canto and then third and then like this. So then by now, yes, then we're able to understand the technicality in balance with devotional service. So then now it would be the appropriate time. So in the future, it won't be there. It'll only be at this point. Yes?
So actually, their method is material, because they start from zero and try to build up and then they fall down again and then...
Yes, yes. It's always ascending, yes. Yes, like that. Well, here, Vyasa, it's always coming down. You're establishing the transcendental nature of the Lord and how he descends adhokshija. Well, they're trying to say is they elevate themselves up. Because it's not about elevating the Lord, because Brahman's there, but there's no connection between the two. So that's the problem, is Brahman is there and we're here. And just that if you negate here, then supposedly you'll be there. Right? So that's the Buddhist method. But how does that work? If Brahman's not all pervading, when I remove the illusion, then I'll be standing in a vacuum. You know, and Brahman will be somewhere else. But if Brahman's everywhere, I'm already situated in Brahman. So then it's pervading everything. That means what's going on here is all because of Brahman. So they're unable to see this, because they'll say it's illusion. But it's our perception of it's illusion. But they'll say, no, it doesn't even exist. But if it doesn't exist, then, you know, it's a mess. And like you said, yes, it's material because of that point.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you understand. If it's based on authority, then it's spiritual. If it's not, you know, it's just like you say, okay, this devotee's doing this, that's wrong. Why is it wrong? Oh, well, everybody knows it's wrong. It's just, it's wrong. That's material. Shastra says this, Prabhupada says we shouldn't do like that. There's authority, then you say it's dissenting. Then it's spiritual. But if it's just, oh, it's wrong because of itself, then, you know, nothing stands on its own without Krishna. Is that?
Because they have both parts. They have vikara and vivarta. They have transformation and illusion. But they just misplaced them somehow.
Yes, yes. It means all of the Vedic philosophies are working with real elements. But they just don't know how to put them together. You know, it's just like, let's say, if we take a computer and it's taken apart, and then the kid comes in and then starts picking up pieces and starts to make things out of it. You know, one kid will be an airplane, the other one it'll be a fire engine, you know, the other one it's a house, another one, you know, like this. But actually, they don't know what they're dealing with.
The whole idea that Vyasadeva is trying to prove points to Mayavadis, they don't accept his premises. So what would be the point? For us, mainly?
So that you know how to defeat. Means if you discussed with them and you could discuss on this technical level, then if they were actually sincere, then they would be convinced. If they're not sincere, then yeah, it's a waste of time. So it's not that you if you have the opportunity, you make the effort, but if you see it's a waste of time, you don't bother. You know, it's like a... Yeah. Sri Govindabhasya, Vishaya. It is said in Chandogya Upanishad, the person seen within the eye is the Atma. He is immortal. He is Brahman. Because of his presence, if one sprinkles ghee or water on the eye, it runs off. He is called Sampadhamma, most pleasurable, because all desired objects enter him. Chandogya Upanishad 4.15, 1-2. So it's like he says, is that it already explains itself. It's self-explanatory. It's not that it's, you know, there's some ambiguous terms or anything. It's just straightforward.
Yeah. What is this sprinkles ghee or water on the eye? What are they trying to say? Runs off? Everything runs off. Isn't that what you sprinkle?
But because of the Lord.
Because the Lord is there. Otherwise it would stick. Yeah.
Why on the eye?
Because we're discussing about the eye. In other words, he's the potency of the eye.
It's kind of a strange proof for the existence of God.
No, but the Vedic, that's how it does. It uses always very obscure meanings and all that. So that's what we're saying. It's like intellectual poetry.
I've never put ghee in my eye. I don't know what would happen if I
do. Yeah, well, it says here it'll run off. You don't have to worry. I've seen there's an Ayurvedic thing. They take dough and put it around your eye, and then they fill it up with warm, what do you call it, herbal ghee.
Especially good
here. Yeah, and then they just pour it in there, and you have to keep your eye open.
Mm. You know. Cool.
That's a medicine or torture?
A little bit of both.
Depends on how you feel after.
Yeah, yeah. And so then they do that.
Cucumbers.
Yeah, that's there.
But that, it also proves the Lord this.
Yeah, because the cucumber comes off. Yes, yes. The amazing thing is the, what do you call it? The avocado also comes off. Right? So.
It's also like water off a duck's back. So the person in the duck must also be a Lord.
Yes, yes. Yes. Yes.
But nothing beats the yesterday ether and the sauce.
Sorry?
Nothing as obscure as yesterday ether and the sauce.
Ether and the sauce. Ether and the sauce.
That was
the yeah, the death sauce.
Like Kikoman or something.
Yes, yes. You got to the guy. Is this the death sauce one, or is this just the regular?
You probably make good money with death sauce.
Oh, no, that one's in counter four. Yeah, aisle four, yes. Okay. Okay, Samshaya, the doubt is this. Is the person in the eye a reflection? A devata, the jiva, or the Lord? Purvapaksha. It is merely a reflection of the jiva, since the texts state that the eye is the support for the reflection, and that this figure is visible. Or it can be... say again. Eye is support for the reflection, this figure is visible. Or it can be the deva of the eye, for Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 5.5.2 says, Eshosmin Pratishta, the sun resides in the eye. Or the person in the eye can be the jiva, for when the jiva sees an object using the eye, the jiva momentarily appears in the eye. The person in the eye can be any of these three, but not the Lord.
Why not? According to that, the Lord can also be there.
Is that the version of stonewalling?
Yes, yes. It can't be. It's just up to here. Just,
why not?
Yeah.
Because it can't be?
No.
Because reasons.
I have reasons. And they are. I have plenty of reasons.
Can you tell me
a good one?
Why should I tell you? Why should I waste my time? Siddhanta. Antara upapattehe. The person in the eye is the Paramatma because of the evidence in the passage. The person in the eye, Antara, is Paramatma. Why? Because of the evidence, upapattehe. This conclusion is proved in the passage itself by mention of qualities indicated through words like Atma, immortality, Brahman, being uncontaminated by water or ghee, and having all desire objects in him.
Which passage?
The one above?
Chandogya?
Yeah, the Chandogya. Because the person seeing the eye is the Atma, what are you saying here? Atma, he is immortality, he is Brahman, being uncontaminated by water or ghee. Means he's beyond. He's not contaminated by anything. And this, the fun part is water or ghee are considered pure ones, so he's even beyond the purity of the material. Because you purify things with these things. Right? Yeah, because all desired objects enter him. So they're all going to him. They're not going to the jiva. The jiva will want them all to come. But they don't, actually. You know, it's not that they enter him. They enter the Lord. Because that's it. They're coming from the Lord, they enter back into the Lord. We think we're creating them, so therefore we think they come to us. Bhagavatam refers. The Supreme Lord is understood by the wise to be the power of sight within the physical body. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.27.11. A liberated soul realizes the absolute personality of Godhead, who is transcendental and who is manifest as a reflection even in the false ego. He is the support of the material cause, and he enters into everything. He is absolute, one without a second, and he is the eye of the illusory energy. Does that have continuous? Yeah. So that's like what we were saying before, is that because he sees, then the living entity sees. So now we're discussing the eye, all the other things, because he is the potency, therefore there's life air, right? Because he is the potency of the mind, therefore the mind can contemplate, right? Because that's the point. Manomaya means the philosophical platform, right? Where we can contemplate and think, and what's philosophy and what should be done and not done, what's right, wrong, based on the scriptures, right? That's, then it's proper. So then the living entity sees, okay, I can do pious activities, I can elevate myself, this is my duty, this is what it means, what its position, right? So you can see all those different aspects. But when you add into that the concept that I'm the soul, right, and that becomes the major, that brings it to vijnana mind. Does that make sense? Like that. So, yeah. Sutta 1.2.14. Stanadi vyapade sach cha. Stana, the place, adi, beginning with, vyapade sat, because of the statement, cha, also. The person in the eye is the Lord, because of the scriptural statement that the Lord is situated there. Sutra Prakashika. Here, Here Vyasa refers to another place in the scripture where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as the controller who resides within the eye. Sri Govinda Bhashya. It is also stated in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 3.7.18 that Paramatma is situated in the eye as its controller. Yes, Chakshushi Tishtan, the Lord is situated in the eye. Bhagavatam Rathas. So what's interesting is that Vyasadeva's only said Stanadi Vyapade Satcha. Right? And then the Acharya is giving all these things through the references and everything else. So how well they know the Shastra. Mm-hmm. And at the same time how surrender the art of the Lord, that in this case then Govinda, he reveals everything.
But actually all the commentators, Ramanuja, Madhva, even Shankara, know which Upanishads it's referring to.
Yes.
They all agree on the same Upanishad.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying, but they know so well, because otherwise we hear this. Personally, we wouldn't know what it's talking about. You know? Yeah. Which eye? Whose eye? Oh no, I got the person in my eye. You know? Yeah. Yes, but it's still not complete there. That's what we're saying, is just knowing those two, you can bring yourself to the point of liberation. You have to know the third, is what's the goal of that activity. We know the potency, we know the endeavor, but then the point is that endeavor will give a result. Who's that result for? So the Mayavadis think it's for themselves, so that's why they stay within the material. When we understand it's for the Lord, that's when we go to the spiritual. So you have to take all three. So they understand the first two to some degree, like that. But they don't deal with the third.
Isn't there a misunderstanding even on potency?
No, of course. But I'm just saying it's incomplete. So therefore, because it's incomplete, it doesn't naturally come to the third. Well, if it's complete, you understand the living entity and the Lord. Then you understand the endeavor must be a connection between the living entity and the Lord. So since the living entity is the subject here and the Lord is the object, that means then it's about Him. Right? So therefore your endeavors will be towards Him. Right? So you're both there, but the point is on being there, He's the goal, and we are the individual that's making the endeavor. So they don't catch that, so it doesn't go there. It is known on Vedic authority that the Supreme Lord enters the senses of the living entities and activates them. Thus he dwells within the eye. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.4. The Supersoul enters the material bodies of the created beings, activates the mind and senses, and thus causes the conditioned souls to approach the three modes of material nature for sense gratification. 32. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments on this verse. The one Supersoul enters the gross material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and uses the activated material mind to subtly divide the sensory activities of the conditioned souls among the five knowledge-acquiring senses, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin. And by a further gross division, the five working senses, the hands, legs, speech, genitals, and anus. Because liberated souls have a strong tendency to serve the Lord, they are not attracted by the dualities of material good and evil. They derive their pleasure through devotion and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who internally enjoys His own transcendental pastimes beyond the material manifestation. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.4 purport. So, because He's entered, that's why they all function. So that means, so then He is in the eye, He's in the ear, He's in the nose, like this. But the eye is generally the one that's good. You know, illumination, understanding, it's connected with the sun. Like this, so that's why it will be used. If when you say that, it means that and all others. You don't have to go through each one of them. Then 2.10.8, Srimad Bhagavatam. The individual person possessing different instruments of senses is called the adiatmic person, and the individual controlling deity of the senses is the adidaivik. The embodiment seen on the eyeballs is called the Adibhautik. 33. Vishwanath comments. The Lord has said, Vishtabhyaham idam kritsnam ekam shena stito jagat. I am situated in my portion everywhere in this world. Bhagavad Gita 10:42. Two verses now show the difference between the ashraya, form situated as antaryami within all bodies and the individual jivas. Oh, the difference between this ashraya form situated, okay. The covering known as the subtle sense organ, Adhyatmika Purush, is the controlling deity of the sense organ, Adidaivika, such as the sun deity controls the eye, since both the eye and the presiding deity of the eye are amshas of the sun deity. Among all substances, that portion which has divisions of sense and sense deity, Ubhaya, is not different from the covering on the jiva known as the visible organ. The gross organ and sense objects, tanmatras, are called the gross body. The word purusha is used in all these cases to indicate that these are coverings on the jiva. This meaning of purusha is found in Shruti statements such as savai esha purushon narasa mayaha. The purusha is composed of food and taste, Taittiriya Upanishad 2.1, Sardartha Darshani 2.10.8. So then the Lord is the you could say, the ultimate deity behind. Means you have the other deities in between, but he's what sees. Then the living entity is the one that's seeing, and then what he sees, that's the Adibhautik. Means just your general, that's what you see. But what you're trying to see is the Adidaivik. That's then considered proper transcendental vision.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, because the jiva is supposed to worship the Lord.
Right.
That is the reason why he is the ashray. Lord is the ashray and we are the vishay.
Yeah. No. It's not so much that we're the vishaya. It's that he's the ashraya here, in that he is the shelter of all these things. Now, it should be that we, as an instrument, therefore engage all these things in the Lord's satisfaction as the vishaya. So here, when we're the subject, means technically we're the instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, if we take ourselves to be the vishaya, then we're in the material consciousness.
Because
mm-hmm. then we're not actually seeing the ashraya. But when we see the ashraya, then we would see everything in connection with the ashraya. So therefore, then he is actually the supreme subject. Mm-hmm. We can be subject, but he's the supreme subject.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So depending upon the context, then the word is used. Like Rupa Goswami mentions that Krishna is the supreme subject, mm-hmm. Radharani is the supreme object. So it means Krishna is always doing activities in connection with Radharani. So he starts all kinds of nice pastimes. Right? So he's the subject that everything's about, but his attention is on Radharani, so she's the supreme object. Right? But in other places then it mentions Krishna as the object. Because it means we here then, you know, we're taking this as the subject, but it's about the Supreme Lord, because he's the object of everything that we do. So, yeah. Okay. Sutra 2:1-15. Shuka Vishishta Vidhanad Eva Cha. Shuka, by happiness. Vishishta, distinguished. Abhidhanad, because of the description. Eva, indeed. The person in the eye is the Lord, because the description of the Lord endowed with bliss at the beginning of the topic should be applied to the latter description of the person in the eye. But it's not that the beginning of the statement you separate from the end of the statement. Does that make sense? So who they're talking about in the beginning is who they're talking about at the end. Yeah. Okay. Time is up. Stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Govinda ki.